WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Hundreds of JMU students protest ICE. School support staff in Charlottesville could soon get a pay raise. And Wintergreen Resort welcomes wounded warriors for a weekend of snow sports and camaraderie. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, February 11th. About 200 James Madison University students gathered at City Hall in Harrisonburg to protest immigration and customs enforcement. The Daily News Record reports the students chanted, listened to speeches, and played music for about 2 hours Tuesday evening to speak out against ICE. The speakers and attendees voiced opposition to ICE recently rounding up and, in some cases, injuring and killing innocent civilians in Minnesota and other states. One of the event organizers, Maddie Durfler, said her group has created a GroupMe site for easy communication between students interested in uniting against ICE. Well, despite January's heavy snow and ice storm, Virginia's Environmental Agency has upgraded much of the Shenandoah Valley in Northern Virginia to a drought warning. That includes areas in the valley from Augusta County northward, and the cities of Harrisonburg, Stanton, Waynesboro, and Winchester. Virginia's Department of Environmental Quality says other parts of the WMRA area are under a drought watch. A drought warning is meant to increase awareness that a significant drought is imminent. In a separate indicator, the U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia lists most of our region under severe drought. Two leaders and an employee of the company Nexus, formerly based in Verona, pled not guilty to financial exploitation crimes in court on Monday. The case is scheduled to go to trial next month, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Michael Donovan and Richard Moore, the couple that formerly led the company Nexus, and their employee Timothy Shipe, all pled not guilty to allegedly stealing more than $400,000 from Zachary Cruz, a young man the couple took in 2018. Donovan and his attorney, Eugene Oliver, are due back in court on February 23rd to determine whether Oliver can continue to represent him, because one of the prosecution's potential witnesses was previously represented by an attorney that works for Oliver. Also on Monday, both sides and an attorney for Shenandoah Valley Social Services argued over a slew of motions regarding what evidence should be allowed in the case. Lindsay Combs, an employee of the Social Services Agency, has been appointed by the court as Cruz's legal guardian. Richard Moore's attorney, Caleb Ruthier, argued he should be given the chance to interview Cruz ahead of the trial, and both he and Donovan's attorney seek access to Cruz's confidential guardianship records. Oliver argued that Cruz's mental capacity or incapacity is central to the Commonwealth's case, so they need to see the relevant records. Judge Sean Workowski allowed the attorneys to obtain the Commonwealth's copies of these files, with restrictions on who can access them. Combs argued that it would be detrimental for Ruthier to interview Cruz due to past trauma inflicted on him by the defendants, and the fact that a previous attorney tried to get to him while he was in psychiatric care under an emergency custody order. Workowski said he was inclined to deny Ruthier's motion, but allowed him to submit questions in writing for Combs to review. A 5-day jury trial is scheduled to begin March 9th. It's been delayed 6 times since the defendants were arrested in 2022. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We've posted a longer version of this story with more details and all our reporting on Nexus at WMRA.org and on our app. A negotiated pay raise for support staff in Charlottesville City Schools is back in the upcoming budget, pending union ratification. That's despite an effort by the school board to backtrack on its agreement. Hannah Davis-Reed with VPM News has the details.
On Friday afternoon, the Charlottesville City School Board said the Charlottesville Education Association hadn't ratified a negotiated agreement that gave support staff a 10.5% pay increase. So the school board planned to default to a 3% pay raise instead. But School Superintendent Dr. Royal Gurley announced at a joint budget meeting Monday that both sides had agreed to work towards the 10.5% raise. Terry Stipe, a 19-year music teacher at Sunrise Elementary, said the backtracking had led to distrust.
The whiplash was real. Support professionals were publicly praised all over our social media days earlier for their backbreaking work clearing the snowcrete and feeding students all week, only to then receive an email telling us that their bargained raise had effectively been taken away.
Vice Chair Amanda Burns acknowledged that the board could have been more clear about deadlines. The final budget will be presented on March 2nd.
Hannah Davis Reed reporting. The Republican Party of Virginia elected longtime party strategist Jeff Ryer as its new chair Saturday. Ryer has spent more than 30 years in Virginia politics, working as the Virginia Communications Director for the 2024 Trump-Vance campaign and serving as the longtime press secretary for the Virginia Senate Republican Caucus. Ryer beat out two other Republicans vying for the position. He said the state party needs to do a better job engaging grassroots organizers. Both Virginia's House of Delegates and Senate pushed forward a proposal for new congressional maps on Tuesday. The proposal would go into effect if voters approve a constitutional amendment in an April 21st vote. The new maps would have Democrats with an advantage in 10 seats and Republicans would have an advantage in just one. Both chambers will review each other's legislation and Governor Abigail Spanberger would have to sign it. The legislation also would set primary elections on August 4th. Virginia Democrats want to increase the power bills that data centers pay and drop the costs for all other ratepayers. A bill to do that passed unanimously out of committee earlier this week. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner has this report.
The bill does three things: increase an existing Dominion Energy Assistance Program, move more power lines underground, and, after a substitute agreed to Monday evening, aims to make data centers pay for excess energy use. Here's the bill's author, Democratic Senate President Louise Lucas, who said the effort would save the state and localities tens of millions of dollars and cause an about 3% reduction in bills for all non-data center customers.
There are more than 200 energy bills this session, and as far as I'm aware, this is the only proposal to actually reduce rates in the near term.
Joe Reed is a lobbyist who explained the change on behalf of Dominion Energy.
So it's a short-term fix to skyrocketing capacity prices and a short-term fix to bringing these data centers online and having them generate revenue, which will generate long-term benefits.
Reed went on to explain how the law would essentially increase the piece of the energy cost pie for data centers while shrinking it for the rest of us. Lynchburg Republican Mark Peek was among those hoping for a clear reason to vote in favor of the effort.
It would be, as of January 1, 2027, the second largest base rate decrease in over 25 years.
That is what I needed to hear.
Representatives for the data center industry said they had concerns, hoped they'd get the right to build their own power in the future, and that negotiations on the bill would be ongoing. Whatever gets out of the Senate will have to face the House of Delegates after crossover next week. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
This past weekend, Wintergreen Adaptive Sports hosted its 22nd annual event for Wounded Warriors. The resort welcomed veterans who sustained injuries or disabilities during their service, along with family members and caregivers, for a weekend of snow sports and camaraderie. WMRA's Meredith McCool reports.
A wind chill of 5 degrees below zero couldn't keep wounded warriors and their families from gathering on the Wintergreen ski slopes.
We have great athletes out on the hill. We got great volunteers. We got great weather. We got great snow. Couldn't be better. And we have hand warmers. So we're crushing it.
Kathleen Booth is the executive director of Wintergreen Adaptive Sports, a nonprofit with a mission to
get people with disabilities outdoors and recreating in whatever way works best for them. We're a year-round program, but in our winter season, that means sliding on snow. Some people that's snowboarding, some people that's skiing, some people we use some adaptive equipment, so maybe somebody is a wheelchair user. We have something we call a sit ski, so they can still get out on the hill. That's one of our sit skiers right there. You see him going down in the sit ski.
Oh, yeah. Is that person with him?
Yes, so they are attached by what we call tethers, and that individual is in a bi-ski. A bi-ski, at least at our program, is typically going to be tethered, and so that means there's an instructor behind kind of helping initiate those turns, because skiing's all about turning. If you're not turning, you're not really skiing.
Among the skiers braving the cold and wind on the mountain were sisters Sanaya and Azara Imami, Sanaya shared that their parents...
They're both veterans, but my dad is an injured veteran. And so here they're able to accommodate some of the limitations that we as a family have, whereas just skiing regularly, it would be a little bit harder.
The sisters have started a blog to bring community and awareness to children of wounded, ill, and injured veterans.
It's called We Signed Up Too.
They hope to spread the message that when a military member enlists or signs up to serve, they're signing up their entire family.
They always do a good job of talking about, like, yes, if somebody is injured in combat, that definitely affects that person, right? But it also affects their spouse, and it affects their kids. And the cool thing is the wounded warriors get to connect with each other about experiences that only they've had, but also the family members get to connect with each other about what it's like.
Kara Ferris attended with her 5 and 8-year-old daughters and her husband, a veteran who was wounded in Afghanistan.
It's our favorite weekend. For my husband, he has a back injury he'll always have for the rest of his life. So for him, being able to be on the mountain and know that he has the support that he needs if he falls or whatever, it lets him live a kind of normal life. For my children, it allows them to experience a cool extreme sport.
Some warriors, like Kara's husband and Sanaya and Azara's dad, only began participating in winter sports after their injuries. Others, like Zimbo Paul, a veteran of the U.S. Army Special Forces, had been skiing long before.
Yeah, I learned to ski when I was stationed in Germany 40 years ago, and then towards the end of my almost 20-year career, I got wounded, and then I've had a long break. So I had to heal, and so I got back into it about 3 years ago, and it feels good to get back into it, and I'm learning a new skill. So I learned to ski, but out here, I'm taking advantage of the lessons to learn snowboarding.
Knowing that you have an injury that you had to heal from, I would be so terrified.
Yeah. If you give into a fear one time, then the next time it's easier to give into it, and the time after that's even easier. And next thing you know, you're quitting all the time. And you never do anything that's difficult, and you never progress, and you never squeeze more juice out of life. And so I just purposely chase down hard things all the time just so that I can squeeze more life out of every day. What's the worst thing that could happen? I don't get it, you know, so I don't learn to snowboard. That's the worst thing that's gonna happen, right? So I've got nothing to lose. I'll just go out and get it. I might get beat up a little bit, but I'll recover. I've been beat up before.
Events like the Wounded Warriors Weekend would not be possible without Wintergreen Adaptive Sports supporters, donors, and volunteers.
Every time we get another volunteer, that means we get more students and athletes out on the hill. So
volunteer instructors are needed 7 days a week in the winter, with midweek volunteers being particularly helpful. For WMRA News, I'm Meredith McCool.
We posted photos and links to more information about this story at WMRA.org and on our app. Finally today, Brunswick Stew, the beloved winter braise of meat and veggies, returned to the Capitol on Tuesday. It's a regular feature of Virginia's legislature and a chance for members of both parties to honor Virginia traditions. Brad Kuttner has a taste.
The pouring of stew may not make the best radio, but as portions were doled out, lawmakers like Richmond Democratic Delegate Betsy Carr welcomed the chance to warm up with a Commonwealth classic.
Brunswick stew has always been one of my favorite. This is my...
Ooh, take your shoes off to count.
This is my 16th year. It's always wonderful. Look at this. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Cool.
Kevin Pear is the Brunswick County Stewmeister this year. He's been in the stew business for about 20 years, starting off with fundraisers for the local fire department, but he's kept it up, and he said he raised about $50,000 last year. So, what's his secret for the best Brunswick stew?
Time. Yep, time. I always cook about 8 hours. It takes 8 hours to cook. And actually, I could give you my recipe, and usually it's just timing of putting the ingredients in.
Lynchburg Republican Delegate Wendell Walker, a native of Macon, Georgia, said Brunswick, Georgia's version of the stew may be his favorite, but he still loves the local batch too, even when being in the minority hurts his legislation.
Ah, man. This just made my day. Even though my votes aren't going good, the Brunswick stew is going great.
Governor Abigail Spanberger did visit the site early Tuesday morning, where bipartisanship continued. Photos showed the governor stirring the pot with Brunswick area Republican Senator Emily Jordan to her right. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Oh, yummy. Now I'm hungry again. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.